Today's March 30th, and we are learning about development of Moshe's prophet and leader. We're finishing Shmot, Perek Tet Zion, and Yud Zion. There are going to be three stories within these prokim. And the first is Perek Tet Zion. Let's go to the beginning of the Perek. Okay. All right. Vayisu me'ilim. ויבואו כל הדת בני ישראל אל מדבר סין, אשר בין אלים ובין סיני, וחמישה עשר יום לחודש השני לצאתם מארץ מצרים. So it's been a month. They're traveling for a month, and they're hungry now. Okay? Perek Tet Zion, beginning of the Perek. Now it says that when we left Egypt, v'gam tzedah lo asu lahem, they did not have provisions for the desert. That's the function of what Yirmiyahu was saying. Komar Hashem Matzachin Bamidbar, or Zacharti Lo Chesed Nurayach Avas Kula V'Sayach Lech Techacharay Bamidbar Beretz Lo Zerurah. Right, Perek Lamed and Perek Bet, respectively. So here, whatever they were able to eat until then, they ran out of it, right? And they complained. Vayivonu Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael Al Moshe Ve'Al Aharon Bamidbar. Vayimonu, right? Longinu is a bitter complaint, right? Right. So, but not only on Moshe, but on Aharon also in the desert. Ve'emru aleihem bnei Yisrael, mi tein mutenu biyad Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim. No, it's biyad Hashem. Veshivtenu al sir habasor ba'ochleinu lechem lasova. Ki hotzeitem otanu el hamidbar hazeh lohamit et kol hakol hazeh l'ra'av. Well, you could remember that time when we had bread to eat as much as we want, up to satisfaction. Right? They had to take us out in the desert that we should die of starvation here. Are you serious? This manifestation in Bamidbar, right? This manifestation in Bamidbar is, they actually mention other foods, remember? We remember the melons and the cucumbers and the garlic and the leeks and all those foods that we used to eat, right? We remember the fish that we used to eat there. What? But you were slaves. Right? Let me tell you something. When you are really starved, really hungry, you will think that even the little bit that you ate sometime in the past is a lot. There's a great pasuk in Mishle like this in chapter 27. Right? And it says, to the hungry soul, everything that's bitter can taste sweet. And I understand that. Right? Okay. Just a parshanut point for you. According to the very famous chiddush of the Bechor Shor, that this and that one is the same story. His proof is really amazing. In other words, but the story that appears in Parshas Paloscha, where they ask for, there's the Zaman story there too, and there's a Slav story there too. The Chor Shor insists that it's the same story, and his proof is like an ironclad proof. It leads to other problems, but here's the ironclad proof: is that in Bamidbar, when God says they're hungry, I'm going to get them these birds to fall down, these fatty birds, these geese, whatever you call them, pheasants. Right? And they're all going to fall and make a whole big covering in the desert. You can eat them. Right? Before God told that to Moshe, get this? Moshe said to God, where would I possibly find meat to give these people to eat here in the desert? Moshe never would have asked that if this story had existed already. The following? Because our story, Hashem tells them, get them, I'm going to get them these birds. Moshe would have known, if they're hungry again, we'll get the birds again. The reason why Moshe says in Bamidbar, he doesn't say that here. But in Bamidbar, it reveals to us that he said, where would I ever find that meat enough to give them? I could slaughter all day and all night. How could I ever find enough food for them to eat? Moshe, there's precedence for that. You did it in Parshas Bishamach. Following? So Bechor Shor says, no, that is Parshas Bishalach. The question is, why does the Torah repeat it? All right, that happens a lot in the Torah. If something is repeated from a different perspective, for a different reason. All right, then. That just happens. Okay, especially the Sefer Devarim, but even in some cases between Shmos and Bamidbar. Okay. So here is the introduction to the month. And it's an interesting thing that the rabbis say about Moshe's leadership in this perek, and it's just an interesting. I want to see if you can catch it. Okay, there were two ways that Bnei Yisrael were to be tested by the man. Can you tell me what they are? Two ways that Bnei Yisrael were to be tested by the man.
Gathering for Shabbos.
Right, gathering for Shabbos, or that should really be number two, because it offsets one. One is, you know, because on Friday you're going to gather for Friday and Shabbos, something you shouldn't do earlier in the week.
Yeah, like keep more than one day.
Right, don't keep more than one day at a time. Because if you collect on Tuesday for 2 days, you're going to see that after 24 hours it's going to rot and it's not edible anymore. There have been attempts to show this kind of crystalline, kind of very, very sweet foods that the desert produces. What could have been the actual food of the month. It doesn't really matter for us. But the point is that this food spoils very quickly, as you can imagine in the desert, and it never stays for more than 24 hours. Except the food knows when it's Shabbos. Because there, it can last for more than 24 hours. That's an amazing, amazing miracle that they see all the time. But I want you to feel comfortable in my hands on a daily basis. Don't collect on Monday or Tuesday. Certainly not for Wednesday. That doesn't mean that we'd be a breach of faith that insurance policy. Right? Or to want to have a little more than, you know, tomorrow's food. For much of human history, we're hunters and gatherers. Practically all species on this planet is busy right this minute, want to finish my sentence, working on their next meal. In other words, any day when you can eat and not get eaten is a good day for you. Right? Thank God we have other concerns, but it's not that struggle isn't that great. Right? We have a lot of conveniences. Right? If you eat and you don't get eaten, hey, positive, right? You get it? I'm just saying, right? So for much of our history, we're busy with that too, right? Whether the ones who were possibly eating us were other humans, no, maybe not, but other animals, that's for sure, right? And we've used our intuition and our qualities of intelligence to get where we are. So the Torah wanted us to be like that hunter and gatherer every day with the man, right? You understand why? Because there's someone guaranteeing that for you. And I want you to feel comfortable with that in mind. At least for the time being. When you get to your land, it'll be a different situation. You can have granaries, silos, you can store food, store grain, right? Got it? Okay, so Moshe gives them there's supposed to be these two tests. But it's mashma, guys, if you look inside the story carefully, that Moshe failed to tell them the second test. Right? Look at Pasuk Tet. Okay? What does that mean? What do you usually hear that means? I'd like to teach you a little chiddush of what this word means. Monhu. What's your English translation usually translate?
This is man.
Monhu is a question. What do you have in your English there? Pasuk 15. Monhu. 15
in English. Yeah.
Heritage Box has a tip box. Heritage Science has a tip box. What is it? What is it? Alright? So there it says not.
It is food.
Right? Oh, there it says it's saying a statement, right?
On the Israelite side, they said to one another, what is it?
Alright, so you're reading it as a question. His translation reads it as a statement.
I'm reading just whatever's on the spot.
Yeah, no.
Arsko's reading it like Rashi, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to say a Chiddush.
So did Man come from, they didn't know what else to call it, so they called it Man?
No, because I think the question is different. How do you say in Hebrew, where should I go? Can you say it quickly in a word that sounds like man?
Le'on,
right? Heard of that, right? Le'on means to where.
So man would be to what?
Well, if man could be like short for may on.
From where?
Where did this come from? They didn't say, what is this? They could see it's some kind of, this is the food he wants us to eat. But they were saying, where did this come from? How did it get here in such abundance? I think that's what the word man means. It's short for form for, because le'on can be like, me'ayin, me'on. I think it's short from me'on.
That doesn't really fit in with the text though, because then it says ki lo yadu mahu. So the reason why they said manu was ki lo yadu mahu.
So why didn't they say mahu?
So they didn't know what it was.
It was manhu. The nun means is like the nun of la'on.
Yeah, but if they were asking where is it from, then it wouldn't say because they didn't know what it was. It would say because they didn't know where it was from.
Where was this from? Because if they knew what it was, they might have been able to predict where it came from.
So they didn't know either.
I know, I'm just trying to use the explain the nun. Okay. That's the food God's giving you. Lechem here does not necessarily mean bread. Right? Although, interestingly, the Ramah writes in Hilchos Brachos that the bracha they made on man in the desert was Hamotzi Lechem min Hashamayim. Why would he put such an agadah in the law code? Because the Ramah always likes, or usually likes, brachos to be as specific as possible. Because some other posts can say that if you don't have, the only water you have is in a mikvah, and you don't have a kli, obviously if you have a kli, put the kli in the mikvah, and then wash your hands. But if you don't have a kli, you could just dip your hands in the water like that, and then eat bread. Right? So the Ramah says, if you do that, the bracha you should say is al tefilas yadai, not al tefilas yadai. Right. Other posts, we say, no, it's on the Tzila Sedan. It's on the Tzila Sedan. No, he says, here it should say, Al Tvila Sedan. Right? Okay, anyway, so, but that just begs the question, what does Lechem in Hashemayim mean? Does Lechem in Hashemayim mean, like, what do you quickly say, just say the answer quickly. What's a Nes min Hashemayim? A miracle from?
You
sure that's what it means?
A God-made
miracle. In other words, min hashamayim doesn't literally mean from the sky. It means
God.
Right. In other words, you were always raised to know that lacha min hashamayim means bread that fell out of the heavens. It's a nice dichotomy. Bread usually comes from the ground, and here the bread came from the heavens. Water usually comes from heavens, and here the water came from the ground. Why? Because when Avraham met the three people in Parshas Vayera, he said, "Va'ekcha pas lechem, I'll get you the bread." So God gave us the bread from where God is up there. But Avraham said, "You kach no ma'at mayim. Let some water be brought for you." So the water didn't come from God. The water came from the ground. It's Gemara Bava Metzia. Whatever Avraham did for the angels in Parshas Vayera, Hashem does for us in the desert. Right? Okay, fine. It's a tangent for this, but so lechem min hashamayim can possibly mean, although Mr. Sitt already schlugged this up, because it says he named mamtir lechem. Mamtir means I'm going to rain. Mamtar means rain. It's coming down like rain. If this is correct, that lechem min hashamayim it just means bread from God, right? Like a neis min hashamayim. Then it should have said no, the same lechem min hashamayim. It's mamtir. Which is what you just said. All right, so Moshe, here's the problem. right? So they weren't sure what it was, and he says, "Zeh adavar asher tziva Hashem liktumi menu ish lofi achlo omer lagul goles mispar nafsho sechem ish lasher ba'alo tika." Everyone gets an omer each day. Now that's quite a bit. An omer is the bulk of 43.2 eggs. Make a test tomorrow and see how much you eat. 43.2 eggs is a lot of food. Not eggs, but the bulk of 43.2 eggs.
Keep it sus.
Whatever you eat, spaghetti, oatmeal, you know what I'm saying? Oranges, whatever it is that you're eating. Now, some food is more bulky than others, but you know what I'm saying. It says you can take 43.2, that's quite a bit. No one's a little hungry with this, right? Okay. So that's what they were able to take. Any more than that, so everyone saw the first day that the month fell. The first day the month fell, they saw, you know what? We can see an appreciable difference between the one that takes a lot and the one that takes a little. They end up with the same. But that's what I mean by the difference. In other words, someone who takes 3 omers and someone who takes a half omer, it ends up giving them the same. Right? So you'd think they'd get a message there. So Moshe warns them. I'm reading this psukim just to show. This is Moshe's basically like some of his first days on the job. Yet he's already split the sea, right? He's faced them down when they complained we should have been back in Egypt and died there. We have no shortage of tombstones there, right? He already dealt with their thirst, Masa Mariva, that's what he did last class. And now he's dealing with their hunger. And he tells them, up to now everything's fine. Up to now there's nothing unusual. Right? Even their complaints are justified, the Gemara says. It says, Ve'eva Moshe Aleihem, Ish al yoser mimenu ad boker. Do not leave any over them overnight. It's going to get so disgusting in your possession. Don't take more than you need. But that's our human nature. By the way, I still see it such a nebuch. I see Holocaust survivors, 50, 60, it's 70 years later. But they remember these such intense hunger is that at Kiddush they put food aside for later. It's like what we do at the Seder with the Afikoman. It's exactly what it is. You're acting like a poor person putting aside food for later. Right? It's been 70 years. I know someone now who's a child that mangled a twin that saved his life. He was brought to Auschwitz. He would have been killed the day he arrived if he wasn't a twin. Right? His twin sister also survived. They were separated in the war and managed to make their way together here through an amazing story that was made into a movie, actually. And he says he has trouble now getting on trains. Right? Any train, even a subway. Man, it's very sad that they have to be tormented this way after so much time. Right? But that's human nature, right? You want to put aside some because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Hey, Moshe and Elisheva, see you later.
What?
Mazel tov.
Who is that?
I just went to the wedding. Yeah, I'm going to Shavuot just a minute. That's a neat Shavuot. You go to Golan for Shavuot. We're going to have
it. Wait, Moshe.
Yeah,
it was usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cousins.
What? Cousins. Oh, really?
Yeah,
Nice, okay, so maybe you'll see more
Shabbos.
I don't know if it's like a Shabbos. Okay,
more comments here.
Yeah, it's on Instagram.
What? I'll say that. Okay. One of our friends was in the office, it's really an idea.
Alright, so we understand that people are going to want to collect some to make sure they have some for later. No matter how much you feel Moshe is is guaranteeing, you know, Moshe's just new on the job. He told us not to leave over. But what they do? V'lo shemuel Moshe. How could you not listen to Moshe? Right, because, you know, we were hungry. We just out of Egypt. Come on, we remember. And they just say, now we remember eating bread till we were full? Really? What, are you crazy? Right, this should be counted. You know, all the times when Moshe gets angry. Who's doing Moshe's anger? One of you is, right? One of you doing? Yeah. So take special note of this, because Rashi is so serious about this. Look up in the concordance the word Kutzav, Ka'as. Alright, he points it out every time. But when Moshe gets angry, something goes wrong. What's going to be wrong here? This is what we're doing. Alright? It says, Moshe, V'ktof aleihem Moshe, because I told you not to leave any over. Alright, what's their punishment? The punishment is they have food in the house that gets that's disgusting and then worms are growing out. Alright? But Moshe gets angry. Now, it doesn't say what the function of his anger is. Right? You ever hear that? That whenever someone gets angry at the Torah, there has to be a function of it. There has to be a reason. There has to be. It's a Gemara in Maseches Zvachim. In the 13th parable, it talks about anger in the Torah always has to be a purpose, has to be a reason. But not just a reason for the anger, but where's the anger going? You don't just get angry for nothing. Anger has to point to something. Someone did something wrong, so what's the punishment? Right? So we'll see that in a minute. But Elokutuo Soba Boker Baboker, Ishtri Yochlo, Lacham Hashem Ishtrimelos. They picked it up every morning, and whatever was left in the field, right, went up with the dew. Whatever wasn't collected in the field just disappeared with the heat of the day. Okay? Vayibayom Ashishi, look two lechem mishneh, shnei ha'omer le'echod. Levol kol nesiyah ha'eda ve'agidu l'moshe. When Friday came around, it says the people took lechem mishneh, two omers for each person. Double that which they were supposed to. Now, what's unusual about this pasuk? This is the function of the ketzef. Why would they take two portions on Friday? But they haven't. Okay, but they haven't been instructed to yet. Look at that one. The v'yomer aleihem hu asher diber Hashem shabbosom shabbos kodesh l'Hashem machor. It says look two. Notice that until now it says kol ha'am kol ha'am v'yomer kol ha'am Moshe. Here it just says they gather, and now Moshe Pasuk Tov Gimel says. Who asher diber Hashem shabbosom shabbos kodesh l'Hashem makor es asher tofu efu es asher tavash l'bashelu es kol erodef hanifu l'chem l'mir shemar esad haboker. Just cook whatever you need to for today, bake whatever you need to for today, right? And you can put aside anything you want for Shabbos. Put it on the left, right? Okay. All right. So Rashi says because Moshe got angry, he messed up.
Yeah,
no. For instance, at the end of Bamidbar, it says that Moshe got angry because the people didn't obey him in the war against Midian. And the next parsha tells us what to do with the kalim that you get from Midian. You have to total them. That whole section is told by Elozer HaKohen, not by Moshe. So Rashi says, where out of nowhere is Elozer teaching us these halachos? And Rashi says, Moshe forgot them because he got angry. You see what Rashi's doing in all these cases? If getting angry can make Moshe Rabbeinu forget mitzvahs, what do you think it could do to us? Rashi is the quintessential mechanech. He doesn't just want to present the Torah to you. He wants to present its messages. Rashi is not a sermon writer. He doesn't want to get those messages out of the text of Torah, no doubt. But he has a multiple agenda that really sets him aside. And it does explain his popularity. Right? So here Rashi says that Moshe was originally told two elements of the month. Not to collect more than one day at a time, and to dafka do that for Shabbos. And because he got angry that they collected on Monday for Tuesday, he forgot to tell them on Friday, and the people had to decide it on their own. Some of them did, had to decide on their own. It says, well, look, two ha'am, it didn't say they all did, but some of them did. Of course, for Friday, come on, that if I'm giving you permission to do double, why wouldn't they? Right? Some kind of accident, I don't know. I found the high school. Whatever goes on there is okay. All right, doesn't look good. Okay, so get this. I'll close with you. Do you have a minhag of feeding birds in Parshas B'Shalach? Have you ever this minhag? Make sure to find birds to feed for Parshas B'Shalach. Where does this minhag come from? It's put down in Sfarim. That some Rishaim was so intent on showing that Moshe's instructions were not correct, that what they did was they picked up the double portion that they took on Friday, and during the night on Friday night, they left it out in the camp, so that when they woke up in the morning, they'd say, what are you talking, Moshe? This man. You get it? So birds came to eat it up when they went back into their tents. So when everyone came out in the morning, there was no man there. So because of that, we should reward birds on Parshas B'Shalach by putting out crumbs for them somewhere and make sure that a bird gets some kind of a feed on Parshas B'Shalach because of that, that I got it.
How long were they supposed to be in the midbar at this point? Like, how long before the Maragim, how long was their journey?
11 days. It says in Devorah.
Achadash yom derech. So this is before Matan Torah, this is before the Maragim. So wouldn't like a good response from Moshe be like, guys, relax, we're going to be here for like 10 more days. Like, then we're going to be in Israel. Like, what's, I feel like his response is so much more, like,
What's interesting is that at the end, there's an editor's note that says this mun fell for 40 years and they ate it all the years in the desert. Obviously, that's a note put in at the end of the Torah. Because at this point, they're expecting to come. Yeah, you're right. Guys, come on. You keep on. All these complaints, just push it off another 2 weeks. Another week.
And then Moshe was just a great response to the meeting. Just like 10 days, suck it up, it'll be in Israel.
15th of year. Well, it was supposed to be like, it does seem that Matan Torah was supposed to be a certain time away from me. All right, 2-3 weeks, we're going to be in Israel.
Right, and then more such as that, it would be much more calm.
Yeah. I'll tell you, not everyone agrees with the Cheshbon, but Shaddal has a big, big section in Parsha Shlach where he tries to prove that the 40 years in the desert was always decreed. Even without the Maran, we would have spent 40 years in the desert. That's a complicated sheet. All right, so this is how Rashi explains why Moshe messed up and didn't give them the proper instruction for Shabbos. Because at no point does he tell them a second instruction. It's only after they collect. It says, when he told them not to collect, Yatsu mina amlul kot v'lamatzo. People did go out to look and they couldn't find. So Hashem tells Moshe, how long are these people going to disobey me? But at first, Moshe got angry. And that's that. No, a leader should never get angry. You know, carry a big stick, but you know. Right? So that's going to be, you know, it's Moshe's issue. Right? So in chapter 17, skip. Yes?
Do you think there's any positives?
So the Rambam would disagree, and there are some Gemaras that says some rabbis showed anger and they needed to show I'm serious about this, right? But the, according to the Rambam's Cheshbon, you're familiar with his like Shvil HaZahav. When it comes to anger, he says no Shvil HaZahav in anger. Rambam, Maimonides, he says stay to the Kotzeh when it comes to anger and its twin brother, arrogance. Arrogance causes anger. Remember, we looked this up. Remember, we saw that Shimshon Frohl Hirsch, God doesn't use any one particular person as a paradigm of virtue. I mean, what it means, of course there are paradigms of virtue. Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov are paradigms of virtue. What it means is that just because they did it can't mean that ipso facto it must be a righteous thing. You hear what I'm saying there? They're human beings, right? You can't say, well, Moshe did that, therefore it must be okay. No. Very much no. That's the way Christians view Jesus. No, we're human beings who can make a mistake. Moshiach is going to make a mistake. Right? Maybe be as close to perfection as we can ever aspire to, but no. So that's what gives Rashi the cover. See, and Rashi never makes this up. It's all in Tanchuma and Shabbat, so it's all over. Right, the question is, why did Rashi choose to record it? Because Rashi is the Mechanech we spoke about. Yes?
If we could go back to the Mon for a second, I have an interesting question. If the plan was to have the mon in the desert for 40 years and for God to sustain them through the mon, then what was the significance of the matzah? That was simply just a temporary thing until it ran out, until they could get the mon?
Yeah.
So why do we focus so much on the matzah and the whole thing of the galaxy lo asulahem if really the whole plan was the mon all along?
So it's a very interesting thing. The mechilta, makes a cheshbon about how many meals they had. And it's an elaborate mathematics, considering two meals a day. And it says that their complaints on the 15th of Iyar came when they still had food. In other words, they didn't complain on an empty stomach. They complained on a full stomach, with the anticipation that we're going to have an empty stomach tomorrow. So that was the point of that. But still... to answer your question, perhaps without resorting to such drash, is that the key there is how comfortable do you feel in God's hands? Which really was this command of eating one day at a time. We have to forgive a Holocaust survivor for wondering whether I'm ever going to go back to that kind of hunger. So even though I know I have food at home, I can't help it. It's a pathology, but it's an understandable pathology.
So the matzah really represents less of a trusting God than the mon does, right?
Well, yeah, because I know you're taking me out into the desert, not just to die of thirst there. We're on our way to a place. I mean, come on. You can suffer all kinds of indignities and inconveniences and difficulties knowing that this is a long, just a short while from now, I'm going to Eretz Moshevitz and freedom. Right? Come on, we've experienced so much until now. But herein lies a problem I think we discussed already when we did Parsha Shlach. Or did we? Is that Bnei Yisrael got used to dependency, as we're seeing in the large swatches of this country. Dependency becomes very difficult to break. Right? It was a great society experiment taking place in this country in the 60s, and their grandchildren, in some cases great-grandchildren, are no better off. Because they've gotten so used to being dependent. Right? So Bnei Yisrael could not fathom anything but the dependency upon which we became accustomed. Remember we did the tzitzis, the libations, and the mon, and the challah. Each one, each of the mitzvahs are trying to teach you, yes, you can deserve this when you get into your Eretz Moshevitz by getting my Shechina to be in your midst. The mun connected the challah, the libations connected the water, and the tzitzis connected the protection of the clouds. Right? Okay, so Masa Meriva, which is Perek Yud Zayin, is what we're going to do next class. I'm going to start with that next class. I'm going to let you out a couple of minutes early here. We're going to start with Perek Yud Zayin, Masa Meriva, and Amalek together for Tuesday. Now, I understand from my other classes that next Thursday, a lot of you will be away. I will be here. All right, class will be given. I'll put it online. Right, so if you're not here, you just look, you know, listen to it. Okay? I do understand that there is, you know, Thursday right before Pesach.